Hello, everyone. Cody Hudson here, live from my bunker with Politically Incorrect. So, y'all, I wanted to do a tribute to the 4th of July. So, happy Independence Day to everyone out there, my fellow countrymen and countrywomen. It's an exciting time to be an American, crazy time, all that stuff, but we are truly, truly blessed to live in the country that we live in. We really are. So I thought it would be only fitting for the spirit of this podcast to read the Declaration of Independence. What insight can we gain from the Declaration of Independence? Can we get a glimpse into the minds of the founding fathers, those that put this together? Why did they want to become their own country? Why were the why did they feel like they were being oppressed? Like there was tyranny, things of this nature. Why are we here? Why are we a country? Let's see what we can glean from this. So let's proceed with the reading of the Declaration of Independence. So here we go. And thank you all for tuning in today. So the Declaration of Independence. It was submitted to the Continental Congress on June 28, 1776. Approved on July 2nd and declared on July 4th. This is the document in which the 13 American colonies formally stated their independence from Great Britain and set forth the ideas upon which the U.S. government would be based. Alright. So, in Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth that separate an equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which compel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are most disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object invinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new safeguards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object their establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be attained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of the public record, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and collusions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the condition of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for the establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payments of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass other people and eat out their sustenance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. He has affected to render the military independent and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond the seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as it to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislature and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death. Desolation and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens to take captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country. They become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections among us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in our attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from the time to time of attempts by the legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of our consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We therefore, the representative of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name, by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United States colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the states of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That, my fellow Americans, is the Declaration of Independence. And I think maybe that is something we are not taught in school these days, or back in my day. It's something to know where you come from, because if you do not know where you come from, you are doomed to repeat it. You are doomed to experience what should have already been a lesson to be learned, you know, a thing to avoid. So I don't know about y'all, but I'm extremely thankful to be born in this country, to be an American. And I don't think there's any place else I would rather be than in this United States of America. I hope all of you are having safe and a wonderful 4th of July. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. And to all of you, a good night. I'm going to cut it a little bit shorter today and get to having a dinner with my family. And to everybody that has served this great nation, past, present, and future, I'm going to raise a glass to you. Salute to you guys, you men and women of courage, of freedom. Thank you. Thank you for every sacrifice you have made for protecting our freedoms, keeping us free. Thank y'all, and have a great day.